Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today comes from Dr. Danielle Martin, a family physician in Toronto. Dr. Martin was the founding board chair of Canadian Doctors for Medicare and is currently Vice President of Medical Affairs and Health System Solutions at Women's College Hospital in Toronto. Colleagues will know that her recent presentation to the U.S. Senate has received enormous attention and support in Canada. Dr. Martin's question is as follows, and I quote, "As a family physician working in the trenches of Canadian health care, I often see patients who do not take their medications because they cannot afford them. One of my patients is a taxi driver whose South Asian heritage and sedentary job have predisposed him to his current medical problems of diabetes and high blood pressure. In spite of working long shifts and being careful in his spending, he cannot support his family and pay for his medically necessary medications. I worry, as he does, about the complications he may experience in the coming decades, some of which could be devastating, such as heart attacks, strokes, and blindness, because he cannot both feed his family and buy his needed medicine. Stories like this are all too common across Canada. A recent study by Law and colleagues found that 1 in 10 Canadians does not fill a prescription or take medication as prescribed because of concerns about costs. This turns out not only to be an issue that adversely affects self-employed and precariously employed Canadians, but also an issue of profound regional inequity that should be of deep interest to our federal government. A patient with congestive heart failure might face out-of-pocket costs for prescriptions varying between $74 and $1,332, depending on which province she calls home. At the time that our cherished Medicare system was developed in the 1950s and 1960s, and even into the 1980s, with the passage of the Canada Health Act, the bulk of health care was provided by physicians and in hospitals. Today, our systems are rapidly transforming to meet the needs of an aging population that is living longer with chronic disease. Indeed, we know that 2/3 of Canadians over the age of 65 take 5 or more medications. The needs of Canada's aging population cannot possibly be met without appropriate access to life-saving medications in the community. By far the most administratively simple and equitable solution would be to expand our public insurance plans to ensure coverage of medically necessary medications alongside those things currently mandated under the Canada Health Act. Furthermore, pharmaceutical costs are rapidly increasing across both public and private insurance plans in Canada. National PharmaCare, with a national formulary and bulk buying of medications, could reduce costs by between 10% and 42%, saving up to $10.7 billion annually. The 2003-2004 health accords calling for a national pharmaceutical strategy that would represent baby steps towards this vision, but the NPS died on the vine and the health accord has not been renewed. My question, this is Dr. Martin's question, is will this government put national pharmacare on the agenda?
Merci, Sénateur Cowen, pour transmettre la question de ce citoyen. Donc, nous sommes déterminés à offrir un système de soins de santé solide, financé par l'État et reposant sur la loi canadienne sur la santé. Nous investissons actuellement des montants records dans les soins de santé des provinces et des territoires. Enfin, nous verserons aux provinces et aux territoires les transferts en matière de santé les plus élevés de toute l'histoire du Canada. Ce financement est sans précédent, atteindra 40 milliards d'ici la fin de la décennie et apportera stabilité et prévisibilité au système. Nous sommes déterminés à travailler avec les provinces sur des idées novatrices et sur l'amélioration des modèles de soins. Notre gouvernement ne fera jamais l'équilibre budgétaire sur le dos des provinces et des territoires. Depuis que nous formons le gouvernement, les transferts en santé ont augmenté de près de 50 %. Donc, je pense que si on veut résumer les éléments pour répondre de façon plus spécifique à la question du citoyen, il est important de travailler avec les provinces. Il y a énormément d'argent qui a été mis de la part du fédéral en transfert aux provinces. Et c'est à eux, dans le domaine de la santé dans l'application des programmes, à établir des programmes qui permettent d'atteindre les objectifs de la loi canadienne.
Thank you for that, Senator Carignan, but I would remind you that Dr. Martin's question was specifically in relation to the National Pharmaceutical Strategy. Now, if your government is not prepared to commit to development of a national pharmaceutical strategy by itself, will it commit to working with the provinces to develop such a strategy?
That would require talking with them, Jim.
Yeah.
Comme je dis, nous sommes déterminés à travailler avec les provinces sur des idées novatrices et sur l'amélioration des modèles de soins de santé.
Question, if I might, Mr. Speaker. Again, it's worth noting, because you've talked a lot about the expenses involved. Dr. Martin says here, and what we found when we were at the Social Affairs Committee dealing with the Health Accord in terms of testimony, is that there could be substantial savings of taxpayers' dollars, savings of money in the healthcare system by going to a national pharmacare program. It would produce a national formulary instead of one for each of the provinces, and it would bring in more bulk buying of medication. So these could be substantial savers of cost. What she has particularly asked you about is a national pharmacare program, and you support that. And the reason I know you support that is because one of the recommendations that came from the Social Affairs Committee was adopted unanimously in this chamber, no dissenting voice whatsoever, and it says, it's recommendation number 28, that the federal government work with the provinces and territories to develop a national pharmacare program based on the principles of universal and equitable access for all Canadians, improve safety and appropriate use, cost controls to ensure value for money and sustainability, including a national catastrophic drug coverage program and a national formulary. That was supported unanimously here in the Senate. So I take it, Senator, that you'd be willing to now advance this idea to the government.
Sénateur, comme j'ai dit, notre gouvernement fournit aux provinces et aux territoires les outils dont ils ont besoin pour assurer la prestation des soins de santé dans leurs territoires respectifs. Nous avons annoncé un accord de financement stable à long terme qui portera sur les transferts à une hauteur sans précédent de 40 milliards de dollars d'ici 2020. Notre gouvernement a également exprimé sa volonté de prendre part au plan d'achat en vrac de médicaments sur lesquels travaillent les provinces, et nous continuerons à travailler avec les provinces et les territoires pour trouver des façons innovatrices de répondre à leurs besoins liés aux prestations de soins de santé.
Supplementary. Well, what you've got to bear in mind, please, Senator, is that when it comes to the provision of health care services, you talk about the provinces. But the federal government is also a provider of health care services. I mean, to the Aboriginal communities, to the armed forces, to the RCMP, government employees, etc. In fact, when it comes to expenditures on health care service provisions, we rank right in the middle of the provinces. We're number fifth largest in the country. So don't we have an obligation, even as a provider, to be with the provinces in the development of these programs?
Je pense que c'était ma réponse, qu'on est déterminé à travailler avec les provinces.